You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The American Angle with William Hill.
Welcome one and all to William Hill's look at all things US sport. We are talking NBA Finals, of course, on this edition. The NBA Finals are finally poised as we head to Game 3. The series goes back to Golden State, back to the Oracle for Game 3 after the Warriors and the Raptors split the first two games. So it's currently one apiece in obviously a race to four for the NBA Finals. Stephen Bakri joins me from the William Hill Trading Room. How are you, sir?
Very well.
Good. Let's have a little look back first and foremost at games one and two before we tackle game three and then indeed the rest of the series. Starting with game one, obviously the first two games were played in Toronto. Raptors coming away with the win in game one. As I thought they might, you didn't. What did you make of game one first and foremost?
It was Raptors came out with the momentum that they had from the last series, yep. Really. It was a case of 118-109 win for the Raptors. The difference was, I think, was outside of Steph, he had 34, Clay had 21, and then Green had a triple-double, which was just 10 across the board. Other than that, they didn't really get any production elsewhere, and that was the difference between the two sides. I think Siakam had that amazing game, 32, Kawhi had 23, Gasol had his playoff high this year, 20. So they got a much better team performance, whereas the Warriors were literally relying on their backcourt. Obviously, they had no KD, and the rest of the team didn't really come through for them, and they weren't really able to ever bridge the gap between them because Raptors went ahead and then they made a run in the third quarter as they've sort of gone back to that trademark of the old Warriors before KD arrived. They always were famous for that third quarter spurt, which they did again, closed it up, but then never really brought it back after that point.
You summed it up pretty well there. In terms of game two, which obviously the Warriors won, they bounced back in game two. I think a lot of people felt as though that was going to happen after they lost game one. It's just a very Warriors-esque thing to do, is that. And obviously they won the game thanks in part to a late three-pointer by Andre Iguodala, which iced the game for them. Were you surprised to see Iguodala afforded that much space on the outside?
I was, to be honest. I mean, Steph Curry, in his post-match interview, immediately after the game, said it was almost disrespectful to leave a guy that wide open.
Insulting, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't have done it on purpose. It must have been a defensive lapse because what I was saying before we started recording, I was telling you the stat, which you didn't realise, that was the first basket the Warriors had scored in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter because they'd thrown out that crazy box and one defence, which you never see in the NBA, but Nick Nurse, who was a former coach in the BBL, actually, here in England, that's something you do actually see quite a bit in Europe and in England especially, where you just get your best one-on-one defender on the single offensive threat, because, of course, at that point, Clay was out of the game, and the Warriors didn't know what to do with it, and I don't know whether they just had a defensive lapse where, in that box-and-one zone, they didn't know what to do with just a guy who ended up wide open on the perimeter, and he burned them again, and it's amazing how many big shots he's actually hit for them this postseason. How, for a while, we thought he can't shoot, he's not going to make anything, and in this postseason, he's come up with a number of big buckets for them. It's amazing.
And he's still just proved himself to be such an excellent complementary piece to this Warriors team. And this is a veteran player now who's been playing at this level for quite a number of years. He's reaching the twilight of his career, but his comments have been very interesting as well, that he wants to protect Steph's dynasty, if you like, and to sort of protect everything that he's built, and comes up big for them once again, Iguodala. Not for the first time, as you say, in this postseason, be it a bucket here. He obviously came up with a crucial block. Was it against the Blazers? Maybe
it was Blazers where they were up. Blazers were down three, needed a three, and he strips
Lillard. Yeah,
I can't remember which game it was. I think it was game three. It must have been because it was the first game on Portland's home floor. So it was game three, came with that big defensive play. And the interesting thing was, one good thing I heard was they were resting him quite a lot in the regular season. And you can see why it's paying off because he's been able to play these extended minutes and have those fresh legs for the big plays and the big moments when he's been needed. And I mean, we don't know how much longer he's going to keep playing for, but if he keeps playing like this, the Warriors aren't going to care. They're going to milk everything every little last drop of basketball out of him to try and get this this three-peat going.
Definitely. Here's an interesting stat for you as well. In the second half of that game, game two, you might have seen this, you might have not. The Warriors made 22 yeah. buckets, and all 22 came off an assist. The first time in NBA history that's happened for a team to have all of their buckets in one single half come off assists. We know they're a great team when it comes to passing and ball movement. That's amplified when Kevin Durant doesn't play. They move the ball around a hell of a lot more, but it just typifies everything that's great about this Warriors team. The way they distribute the rock is just unbelievable, and it's no surprise to see that quite staggering statistic, really.
It is. I mean, I completely forgot about that stat, and I was raving about it for days in the office.
I'm glad that I've got it
someone,
into the podcast
someone
rather than you.
Did. That was sort of like what typified this, because obviously we were saying about they get back to the famous ways. They started the third quarter out on an 18-0 run, and that was because of the ball movement. The ball's kicked ahead quick, and they're finding the opening man for a layup. I mean, Draymond Green nearly got another triple-double, but what goes under the radar was Boogie Cousins. To think he hasn't played in six weeks since game two of the first round, and all of a sudden he gets thrown in and plays 30-odd minutes because Kevin Looney went down, and he's now out for the rest of the playoffs as well with a broken collarbone or sprain, however they want to class it. And so he had to play nearly 30 minutes, which they never expected him to do. I think they wanted him playing like 20 minutes tops. And he comes up with a massive double-double. What went under the radar of that? He still had 7 assists. So he was another key part in that ball movement. Between him and Draymond, the pass between out of the high post and off the top of the arc was just impeccable. Finding all the cutters, finding Clay and Steph, and Clay, to think he went out with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter with that hamstring problem, he was on fire. I mean, it did us. I mean, I was talking to the guy who was trading. We do our in-play player lines, and admittedly, him going out did him a favour from a company standpoint, because he was on track for a big, big game. He was just ridiculously hot.
Yes, I imagine there weren't too many people wanting to bet the unders.
No, not a chance. No, the way he was going. Yeah. He finished with 25 points, but he was on course for a big night. Yeah. And I mean, it was interesting with Steph as well, because the talk in the first half was Steph looks injured, he looks ill, he looks off, he looks disinterested. And then all of a sudden, with about 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, he starts catching fire. And then he just went back to his normal ways, apart from in the last 5 minutes when they threw that box and won at him, and they just literally tried to get him away from the ball as much as possible, which completely threw the Warriors' offense, which will be interesting if they employ that tactic again in Game 3 and how the Warriors will adjust to it, because I imagine they'll throw it at them in stretches. They can't run it for 48 minutes because it will get found out eventually, but especially it's a lot easier for them to run when Clay wasn't on the floor, because you can't just leave in a box and one. There's going to be space for a shooter. Yes. And especially if you've got Klay Thompson on the floor, it's just not going to work. So it'll be interesting to see. Because, of course, Klay is questionable for Game 3, as we're about to touch on now.
Absolutely, yeah. Game 3 upcoming, of course, early hours of Thursday morning. And we go back to the Oracle for Game 3. The Golden State Warriors hosting, and they are 1-2. The Raptors are 7-4. That's the money line betting. The spread here, +4.5 for the Raptors, 10-11. -4.5 for the Warriors is 10-11. And the point spread here set at 213.5, 10-11, over and under. Already loads of enhanced odds available for you on this game. Talk to me about the spread, though, first of all, Stephen, because this has moved fairly markedly since the market went up.
So when I checked this on Monday night when I was in the office, the spread was -6 to the Warriors. So as a result, clearly we've been taking money on the Raptors because it's come in a fair bit, which is kind of indicative, because it was, even when I saw it, a 6-point line, especially with the fact that we don't know because KD has officially been ruled out for Game 3 now. It was debatable whether he was going to feature for the Warriors. We're still not sure what's happening with Clay. I'm pretty sure he's a game time decision. So it's an interesting position to be in, because if, depending on whether Clay plays, will be an interesting one, which side of that 4.5 you want to be on. Because if Clay doesn't play, then you'd be definitely wanting to get on that +4.5. When it was at +6, it was very tempting, in fact too tempting probably, which is why it's now come in. But because of the interest, because of the uncertainty in what the Warriors starting lineup's going to look like, it's going to be an interesting side to be on, until you might want to be waiting for the last maybe hour or so before tip off if you're staying up that late in the UK, just to see what the team news is.
What's the in-play money been like for this one? Obviously, we've clearly seen the line move there, which suggests cash for the Raptors. We've said time and time again on this podcast this year, or you've informed me, that the Warriors are red hot. People love to bet the Warriors in play. Have we seen that happen through the finals thus far?
Yes. I've said before in the fact that the patterns are different because obviously as a company we operate in the States as well. We also operate across the world. But it's a different betting pattern. So anytime the Warriors go behind, it's never a good story, generally.
Unless, of course, they stay behind.
Unless they stay behind, which, as we all know in Game 2, it didn't happen. So as a result, for the company, in terms of when we were in the States the other day, it was a bad result because the Warriors went behind. But then problem is, if you listen in America, you'll know it yourself. You love to back an underdog. You love the comeback. Whereas it's a bit different, whereas people like a favourite. Yes. Here in the UK or across the world. So it wasn't, in terms of a result for the company on game two, it wasn't too bad on this side, but in the States, it was a disaster just because of that massive 18-0 run to start for the third quarter for the Warriors, because they were already 1-point dogs to begin the game, and then the price will have only jumped out further when they went further behind. So it's never a good prospect when the Warriors go behind. So it'd be interesting, obviously, with looking at the money line price for this game with the Raptors at 7-4. Depending on the Warriors 1-2, depending on which side you're looking at, you've got value at either way there. In terms of the Warriors as a favourite at 1-2 with a 4.5-point spread, is quite a nice price if you want to look at it. But like I was saying before, it's all dependent on what this starting lineup's going to look like. So 1-2 at the minute for a 4.5-point favourite is a very nice price for the bettors. But on the other hand, 7-4 on the opposite is a very big price for the Raptors. That's only going to have come since this spread's come in towards the Raptors to 4.5. So there's value on either side for the bettors, depending on how you look at it. I'd be more, if you're backing an outsider on a big price, if you want to win, the Raptors at 7-4 is a very, very good price. But if you want as big a price on the Warriors as I think you're going to get in a while with a spread like that, the Warriors is at 1-2 is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm quite gutted. I missed the +6 really for the Raptors because that would have been nice. Albeit I do have a bit of a feeling for the Warriors in this game. Of course, the starting five is going to be interesting. I think they're going to split these two games though at the Oracle, and I think we'll go back north of the border with it 2-2. What about you?
I think it's going to go back 3-1.
To the Warriors.
I'm maintaining my pick of the Warriors in 6. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to go back to Toronto for game 5 with them 3-1 down. They'll win game 5 and they're going to win. Close out Oracle Arena with a win and a championship. Because, of course, these are the last 3 games that are going to be played at Oracle before they move across the bay into San Francisco next season. And I know it's quite a touchy subject over in Golden State. Obviously, it's another team leaving Oakland because there's going to be the Raiders.
The
Raiders are going to leave to Las Vegas. There was worries for a little while about the Athletics in Major League Baseball as well. So they want to end this era in Oakland with a championship, I'm sure.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And 3 wins to boot as well. I mean, it's hard enough to win in Golden State when at the best of times, and especially in playoff basketball, it's going to be an uphill task for the Raptors. But I think a big key is what happens with this lineup. If Kevin Durant doesn't feature, it might even throw them off if Kevin Durant features in game 4, because it's uncertain whether he will come back for game 4. So they could win game 3, comes back in game 4, throws everything off kilter again, or he comes back to, we don't know. The reports have been he hasn't been anywhere near 100% physically fit yet, so he won't come back to like MVP level Durant. But if he comes back and still score the basket the way we know he can, then it could be a massive game changer either side. You could see it all swing back in the Raptors' favour, or it just completely landslides towards the Warriors. But I still think the Warriors will win games 3 and 4 at home.
You don't really want Kevin Durant to come back there, do you? Because you prefer this brand of basketball that the Warriors play without KD.
I'm not even going to beat around the bush now. I don't want him to come back. I think it's a better storyline for the Warriors if he doesn't win. And then it's a much juicier storyline for the NBA if he doesn't come back and the Warriors win. Because then it confirms the fact that arguably they never needed him in the first place. Mm. He just went there. He won his rings. He won his finals MVPs. It gave him the resume that he needed because of arguably one of the best players in history, and he wouldn't have won a ring. And then it gives him that opportunity to go, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's anywhere, and build something new. And it allows the Warriors to go back to back to the Splash Brothers era, where they've built around Clay, Steph, and then if Draymond can continue playing like he's playing, they've got a, they're still, that this the run isn't over yet. They could still, they won't be the same like powerhouse that everyone feared start of this year, but you can't, you won't be able to take them lightly still, even if they carry on as they are.
Absolutely. Would you be a moneyline player, or do you think they'll cover the spread in game three?
I think, again, it's all for me whether Klay Thompson plays. I'd take the money, if I'm being, if Klay Thompson doesn't play, I'd be safe and take the money line. If he is confirmed as playing, then I'd be taking the spread up -4.5. That'd be the way I'd look at it.
Okay.
So as a result, I'm in the office tonight, so I'll be waiting till like 1 o'clock in the morning until we see what the lines are as to what the smart move is going to be. But we might even see some late money come in and it shift even further in the Raptors' favour. You never know. So if you wait till that time and Klay Thompson is out, then we might see, or he's in, you might see some further shifts in the lines and the prices. So you've got to be keeping your eyes out for what the value is at the time, because obviously we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, hours before the game even tips off. So this is a almost a, not hindsight, it's looking forward to what you guys are going to be able to bet on tonight.
Are you on duty for this game, or are you on baseball tonight?
I'm on baseball tonight, so I'll be watching intently with my eyes on the baseball, cheering on the Tigers or the Rays. I think it is one of my games tonight. So
good. Finally, before we wrap up, mentioned him last week, got to mention him again this week, Drake. Game one, called Draymond Green trash, which was entertaining. I think Draymond Green kind of answered Drake's criticisms of him in game two, where he was a little bit more subdued game two, but then again, the Raptors did lose. So
yeah, I think he will have been a bit more active. I wasn't really watching out for him because I got a bit tired of the antics. He was very quiet in the second half, let's put it that way, when the Warriors jumped out to a massive lead. But Draymond really has been playing well. As we can tell, we've even got a market for Finals MVP out, and Draymond from the start of the series has come in massively. So if you just go onto the outrights, it'll be on the outrights page. So if you go onto the outrights for the NBA and you go into the championship winner, and then underneath that you've got Finals MVP. And he's now 7-2, Draymond, and I'm pretty sure he started the series at nearly 9s or 10s.
Okay.
Purely based on his great play. Steph Curry is of course the favourite at the minute, with the Warriors favoured for the championship. He's 8-11. And then Kawhi Leonard, basically it's almost nailed on. If the Raptors win the series, Kawhi is going to be the MVP for them. So he's the same price as a Raptors series win at 12-5 at the minute.
Yeah. I mentioned Drake because we don't have any Drake-related markets yet. I know in play is your game, so you're probably the wrong person to moan at, but no enhanced odds for Drake to do something?
No, because it's...
less so in Oakland now, but I suppose for the Toronto games.
It'd be a travesty if he managed to get courtside seats for the Oakland game. Imagine the stick he's going to... It's more the joke, the fact that he's got Steph and KD's numbers tattooed on his arm, and he's cheering on the Raptors. He even had to wear when he was wearing a short-sleeve shirt, he was wearing a wristband around his arm to hide them. It's like, come on, you can't be cheering against a team when you've got two of the guys.
He loves all teams, though, Drake, doesn't he? He's just a general sports fan.
There's only one Raptors super fan, and that's Nav Bhatia, who's the guy who's been there every home game since 1995. Drake is just he's jumped on the bandwagon. Yeah. He's whatever title he has for them, brand ambassador or whatever it is, that's about as far as his influence goes, I reckon.
Are you sticking with your pre-series prediction then? Warriors in six. That's now 2-1. I can't remember what price it started at. Has that come in a bit?
It will have come in a bit, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
14-5 or something it started like?
Something like 12-5 or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was. But it's come in, obviously. The key to that was them splitting the first two games. If they'd gone down 0-2, then it would have been a lot bigger price, because then you've got to essentially rely on them sweeping the final four games. However, if you've got the faith in the Raptors, what was your pick again?
I went Golden State in 7, which is coming a point as well. That's 11-2 into 9-2.
So you're 9-2 now. Mm. If you're still feeling the Raptors, though, you've still got plenty of value, though, if you want to pick a correct score in the Raptors' favour. If you think you're going to win the last four games now, it's 18-1. If you think the Raptors in 7, which I've seen floating around, it's 9-2 either side for either team to win in 7 games, which would be interesting. The key to that, obviously, they have to split these games in Oakland if you want a game 7.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be ended in 6, and I think it's going to be the Warriors 2-1. However, me being wrong as I normally am, it'll probably be Raptors in 6, which is 9-1. But I'm still sticking to my 2-1 bet at Golden State 4-2 series score.
If you do think it'll go all the way but don't want to predict a winner, you can hedge your bets and just play 7-4 that the series goes seven games. That's available on the William Hill website on the outrights, along with the outright winner, the finals MVPs, betting there as well, the series handicap, correct score, etc. And of course, we're fully priced up ahead of Game 3 now, which takes place in Oakland on Thursday morning. Stephen, thank you very much for that. Best of luck with the baseball trading tonight. Try not to be too distracted by the NBA.
Never get too distracted by the NBA.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.